Jesus entered Capernaum. A centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my house, under my roof. Only say the word, and my soul and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another one, 'Come here,' and he comes. To my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Season of Advent liturgically is the tightest of all the seasons. The readings were very properly chosen, every single one, in order to accentuate the proper virtues that we need in order to live this season well. And so far as Advent is the hardest liturgical season to live, because culturally everybody focuses on Christmas, and liturgically this year it's only 3 weeks and one day, it's very important for us to focus on what these virtues are, and to really ask ourselves with sincerity whether we have these virtues that will go out to meet the Lord who has come unto us, and in which ways we need to grow in these virtues. So the church starts right off with the centurion. And the fundamental reason for that is because Advent's made for everybody, not just for us. Jesus' words at the end of today's gospel fulfill Isaiah's prophecy throughout all the readings we're going to have, that God wants his coming to be for everyone, just like the second coming is going to be for everyone. From the east, the west, from the north, the south, God calls everyone to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what are the virtues? First virtue is faith. The centurion went out to meet Jesus who was coming to Capernaum with faith. He could have waited until he had entered the town. He didn't. He went out. Jesus was amazed at his faith. There's a dynamism happening in these words. It was impossible for a Jew to enter the house of a pagan without becoming ritually impure. And so the centurion went to Jesus and just said, "My servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He wasn't even going to ask him to come into the home. He knew that that was impossible. That wasn't even part of his wish list. But Jesus, meeting him who had come out to ask this favor, said, "I will come and cure him. I will enter your house. You are not too other, extraneous, dirty for me. I will not be impure entering into your house." Jesus met his faith with something extraordinary, and then we know what the centurion replied. "Just say a word from here, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus was so amazed, saying that not even in all of Israel had he found faith like that, including in his mother, who was in Israel, because she had a different relationship to the word. Jesus was finding something in the centurion that was absolutely extraordinary, not just in his miraculous potential, but also in the distance that it took. He wasn't prepared with all of Judaism for it. So at the beginning of the season, are we really going out to Jesus as a thing of routine? Are we going with great faith that he can do it all, including make us great saints, converting the world, hearing the prayers we'll be saying today for Emily over the course of her pregnancy, so many others. Second virtue we see is extraordinary humility. Lord, I am not worthy that you will enter under my roof. When Jesus comes to us in this Advent dynamism, do we see what he is doing with extraordinary gratitude, that we're not worthy of it all, and yet with extraordinary love, he comes nevertheless? We'll only be able to experience what God wants to give us in Advent unless we experience it with that sense of gratitude that we're not entitled to it, and yet he gives it all the same, wishing to do for us greater things than he did for the centurion and his servant. But our soul likewise is supposed to be lowly so that it might magnify the Lord rather than itself. This is the second thing we need to look at as we go forward to the Lord who comes, that he is so great and we are so small, yet he wants to lift us to his greatness. Third virtue we see is obedience. Lord, only say the word and my servant shall be healed. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come here. To my slave, do this, and he does it. Are we really obedient to what the Lord asks in the small little things? We're constantly saying, thy will be done. But when the Lord reveals his will, do we say, thy will be changed? You know, there are lots of things over the course of every day that we would organize differently. We would delay certain people's deaths. We would hasten other people's deaths, perhaps, as long as it was a good death, in grace, etc. Lots of little things over the course of the day and big. But do we really mean it when we say, thy will be done? And are we seeking to conform our whole existence to the Lord's word? This man had extraordinary faith that was shown through his attentive listening to the Lord, to the fact that he grasped that all of creation would listen to him. And if all of creation would listen, including whatever was paralyzing his servant, so we should have that same attentive adhesion. In the first reading from Isaiah, we've got this beautiful image. Why were they going to Jerusalem together? So that they might be instructed in his ways. Do we go to the Lord seeking this type of instruction, his words to be done? It's always a point of examination for us, especially each day when we listen to the word of God proclaimed at Mass, that we proclaim in the breviary, that the church itself announces. Fourth is conversion. You know, I've always been struck that the most favorite passage of sacred scripture at the United Nations is what we heard today, used over and over and over again, including by secularists. What's that passage? As I see Sister Monica's eyebrows furrow. What is that passage? It's right across. It's inscribed in stone across from the UN. It makes it into lots of discourses. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. What does this mean? The instruments that used to be used for war are now going to be used for building. If only, you'll hear at the UN, we could stop spending so much money on creating and modernizing nuclear weapons, using it for development. We wouldn't have 1 billion people living under $1.90 a day. We wouldn't be raising the amount of people starving, 865 million in our world. But it points to this type of conversion. The things that we could use for violence and for harm, when the Messiah comes, are supposed to be used for building up. Is that what we do with our energies? Do we see our energies consecrated to the Lord? So that rather than spending our energy negatively in one way or the other. Perhaps for us, holding a grudge, resenting some type of thing that came our way. Do we convert all of that into a means of building up, of allowing the kingdom to grow, of really nourishing the seeds? Fifth, and there'll only be 24 points. No, fifth is out of six. Fifth is Advent is supposed to be lived together. Let us go up. Let us, not let me, in my personal spirituality, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let us, at the end of this passage, we say, walk in the light of the Lord. Jesus mentioned that people were going to be streaming from all the coordinates for the banquet of the kingdom. This is key for us at Advent, that we don't leave others behind, that we're intentionally bringing others with us in our prayer and physically seeking to bring others with us. That we don't pray Mass as individuals, but we pray together as in Anima Ecclesiastica, as the whole church. That we don't look forward to the celebration of Christ's birth alone, but together. In a special way, we look forward to the parousia as a means by which we're able to bring so many others with us. That's what Advent is about. That's what Jesus wants, that he was coming to save a people, not a whole bunch of isolated monads. And this is an ever-urgent call in an age in which people are becoming far more individualistic, that even people together at the same time in the same car, if there are four people in a car, even the driver's on his cell phone sometimes, as people are checking everything and doing things to isolate rather than come together. Advent is a time in which we prepare to bring people together. It's always about the first person plural. And then lastly, it's explicitly meant to be a time of joy. As we proclaimed in the responsorial psalm, let us go rejoicing into the house of the Lord. The type of joy that came with Christ's miracle into the centurion's house. Joy is the most characteristic attribute of a Christian who really lives the good news. And it's a question that we really have to ask, that does our joy dominate? It's a big point of conversion for me, sisters, frankly, because sometimes I wonder if that's what I give you each day, that the joy of our faith, I want to at least, but sometimes when you're rushing early in the morning and everything else, and I worry that I don't. But likewise, we can examine always on this point, do we radiate the joy that comes from our faith? Joy is the characteristic of the season. Mary's joy. Her spirit was rejoicing in God, her Savior. And we're called to be icons of that joy. We said, essentially, that the Lord's house would be set up as a mountain. We know that the Jews originally thought about this as the temple. But Christ came and he made a new temple, not just the temple of his body, but also made us that temple. And we're supposed to be that city set on a hill, giving off that light, and the light of that joy. We're supposed to become the icon of that house of the Lord, because we are the members of the Lord's household. And that is a place to which people stream with contagious joy. The Lord would be calling us to all of these things: faith, humility, obedience, conversion for the building on up, peace, joy, obedience. Will give us all that we need as we stream toward him here. This was the source of all of these virtues for St. John Damascene, whom the Church celebrates today. Let us receive this Redeemer with the faith, humility, and obedience that he shows. Praise be Jesus Christ.